You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Happy Friday. We made it. The weekend is almost here, and this is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. I know that Election Day is more than a year away, but we got to talk about our candidates. We got to talk about the races. We got to talk about what's going on and what we need to get ready for 2026. And over the past few weeks, I've been playing interviews with people who have declared their candidacy for various seats around Wisconsin. And today, I want to introduce you to Trevor Young. In fact, I'm going to have Don Rosen introduce you because he sat down with Trevor to talk about his campaign for Wisconsin State Senate of District 21.
Well, welcome our guest. He's running for the 21st Wisconsin Senate candidacy. He's running for that seat. And it's Trevor Young. Thanks for joining us.
Don, it is an honor to be on the show. Thank you.
You said you were here when you were a kid, huh?
I have been here once when I was in high school and there was a Focus on Community feature for young people. And it's good to be back.
Now, where are you born?
I was born in 1995, and I was born halfway across the world, so in Krasnodar, Russia. So my mom was not in a position to take care of me, so I was placed in an orphanage until I was 2 years old, and my dad traveled halfway across the world and saved me from a life of poverty and oppression and brought me to the center of the universe, Racine, Wisconsin.
How long have you been here?
My whole life. My whole life. I went off to university at UW-Milwaukee, proud Panther.
And get that in there.
Yeah, and came right back to Racine after graduating with the degree in urban studies and urban planning.
Whoa. Okay. So now you're in the transportation department, right?
Yes. Yes. So leading public transportation for the greater Racine area.
Okay. What did you do before that?
Well, I served two terms on the Racine City Council, but professionally I worked at Carthage College doing employer relations, talking to employers about recruiting skilled talent to, you know, feed a pipeline for talent for employers across southeastern Wisconsin that Carthage had internship programs with. So that, you know, informed an experience of what can we do to attract the next generation of talent to make sure that southeastern Wisconsin is competitive. So between that and my work in local government, it's been a real education.
So you work for the city now. You've been in an alderman. What district was it, by the way?
District 9. So proud West Racine guy. So I actually went to daycare at Atonement Lutheran and lived right across the street on Wright Avenue when I was on the city council. So when people would ask my local cred, you know, how are you connected to this neighborhood? I would always say I didn't go very far, right across the street from daycare.
I ask everybody who gets into politics the same question. Why would you want to get into it? Because 50% of the people are not going to like you for whatever reason. It just works out like that.
Right.
Same thing with disc jockeys. 50% of the people aren't going to like you for playing the Beach Boys or whatever you play. So why'd you get into politics?
Well, good question. So I owe everything to my hometown. You know, growing up in Racine, I had this kind of all-American childhood, little league baseball, product of the public schools, you know, took classes at Wisdom Art Museum, you know, attended the Racine Theater Guild. So growing up here, I had this real sense of gratitude, like, wow, this community saved me.
Did you work in the guild? Theater guild?
No, just volunteer. Took classes with Mrs. Mount, you know, that was my, you know, theater days. And so growing up, it was like, wow, like this is a pretty special place. And, you know, my family has been here for four generations. My grandma, she actually owned a bar in downtown Racine. So as any good Wisconsinite, I have, you know, that experience growing up at the end of the bar at the tavern. And so just this sense of community, this sense of gratitude. So growing up, I wanted to give back. And so looking at, you know, how do we solve problems at a neighborhood level? I went off to university to study urban studies and urban planning because I think that that's where you make the biggest difference. And because of that, that inspired me to get involved in politics because I see if everybody works together, is focused on the right issues, we can really make a difference in people's lives.
21st District encompasses Racine.
Yes.
And what else? Just Racine?
So the north side of the city of Racine, up to Caledonia, Wind Point, goes all the way out to Raymond, and then north into Franklin, Hales Corners, Greenfield, Greendale, so the southwest suburbs of Milwaukee County. So it is a 50-50 district. We are going to have to earn every vote and talk to people where they are and focus on things that are important to families, you know, like affordability, like housing, like good-paying jobs, making sure we're taking care of the most vulnerable. So it's going to be an exciting one. And I'm really grateful that this is a fair district because the people of Racine and Wisconsin deserve an actual voice and an actual choice.
Okay. So now people hear the assembly, the state assembly, they hear the state Senate. Do you guys vote on this? You obviously can vote as the whole body, but what's the difference? Is it just the size of the area that assemblymen and state Senate people cover? Is that the only difference?
Yeah. So for every state senator, there are three assembly people. So there are three districts per state Senate district. So in Racine, we have Angelina Cruz, and then we've got two other members of the assembly in the rest of the district. And so it is a bigger area, covers, you know, geographically and population wise more. And so that just means that we're going to have to get out there and talk to as many people as possible before November of next year.
Well, you got to have some energy to run for office, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've got my cup of coffee from Wilson's right down the street here.
So, look at you.
Yeah, so we're ready to go.
Trevor Young is my guest. He is currently working for the city of Racine in the transportation department. What is the exact title?
So it's the transit department, and I'm the transit and mobility director for Ride Racine, the public transit system in eastern Racine County.
Look at that title. Whoa.
Yeah, quite the, I mean, when you have a little and in there, that shows you've made it.
Now that you've gotten to know Trevor a little bit, in the next hour, I'm going to play for you another excerpt from their discussion, and he's going to be covering what he wants to bring to his district, what he wants to bring on the campaign trail, and what he wants to hear from you, the voters. And don't forget to sign up for Civic Media Today, our new newsletter, by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. When I'm putting together these segments for you, I get to listen to a lot of great conversations, and some of the best ones come from Earl Ingram on his show, What's Going On, which is his brand new podcast. It's a long-form discussion program where he talks to some of the most important leaders from in and outside the community of Milwaukee, and he has one of my favorites back, Dr. Howard Fuller. Dr. Fuller is a professor emeritus at Marquette University and the founder of the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy. And today they're talking about something very simple but very important. Today they're talking about reading and writing, and Dr. Fuller makes it clear, teaching it isn't just another subject. It's the foundation of opportunity, freedom, and equality.
You know, a lot of times when you get a chance to be around what some call the big people, right? The big shots. You see people sometimes, they throw it around. I was with so-and-so. And yeah, I was with them, and I know this person, and I know that. Well, here's a man who I'm finding out with all the people that influenced my life as a young boy, as I watched the struggle taking place, the civil rights struggle, and watch those people and drink from those people and the impact that they had. And, you know, just couldn't imagine what it would be like to be around those people. Turns out my guest has been around all those people and knows all those people. And you know what? Never once Did you ever hear him say, well, hey, I was around this person and that person? Because that's the character of the man. And so this is our fourth episode with the one and only Dr. Howard Fuller. Good morning to you, dear brother. How you doing again?
Good morning to you, my dear brother. Thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Man, you know, man, it you know, my feet is tired, but my soul is rested every time I get a chance to dialogue with you, sup with you. Let me say this, because we're going to talk about a couple things this morning, but we want to begin with, you know, as a parent or as a grandparent, when educating your child, you get one shot at it, Dr. Fuller, one. And so if you start off in grade school and your child is not being nourished and your child is you're a grand educator. If your child is not getting what they need in the early stages and they fall further and further behind, the chances of them catching up is pretty remote. So let's talk a little bit about the importance of the beginning with a child when you're looking for somewhere to send your child for an education. Preschool and grade school matter, right?
Yeah, everything matters. I mean, and that's sort of an obvious statement, but I want to explain what I mean by that. One of the people who I've had the good fortune to get to know is Maya Smart. And some people know Maya Smart because she's the wife of Shaka Smart,
okay.
The basketball coach at Marquette. But she's Maya Smart by herself, you know, based on
right.
her own accomplishments. And she, you know, she's written a book, and I think she may have, you know, done an update of it. But what Maya talks about is the importance of beginning to read to your child, even when your child is in the womb. Yeah.
Right.
So she, you know, she begins to talk about how important this is even before you make the decision to send, you know, your child to school. But the point I'm trying to make here is the earlier you can begin to try to focus on teaching your child how to read, the better the child's chances are going to be successful in life. But having said that, what we do know is that if you focus on reading, beginning with kindergarten, you're going to create a situation where your child is going to have a better chance of being successful in life. And so the converse part of that is also true, because there is research out there that shows that if your child can't read by third grade, their chances of graduating from high school drop significantly. And so, you know, one of the things I'm working on right now, as you know, is trying to create a reading initiative in the city of Milwaukee that I can talk to you about. But I think the general point that we're trying to make here is our most precious gift from God is our children. And it is our responsibility to nurture them, to care for them, to love them. And one of the most important things that we can do for them is to ensure that they get the best education possible. That's just the reality of it. And some of us are in a better position by virtue of the financial resources that we have available to us to do better for our children in all aspects of life, and education being one of them, than those of us who don't have access to that level of financial resources.
Tomorrow, I'm going to be playing another selection from the conversation between Earl Ingram and Dr. Howard Fuller. And if you want to listen to the entire episode, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for What's Going On and find the episode entitled Reading in School, What's Going On. Download it now and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Earlier, I played for you an interview that Don Rosen did with Trevor Young, who's running for state senate in Wisconsin for District Number 21. And we're going to get right into another selection, because before you heard about where he comes from and his background, basically his story. Now he wants to talk about what he brings to the campaign trail and what he will bring to Madison.
You're running for the state senate 21st district, which encompasses Racine and part of Milwaukee County. We got to know you in the first section. Let's talk about some of the issues. What's wrong that you want to correct, and what do you want to add to what's going on in the state of Wisconsin?
Yes, great question. So, you know, I see places like the neighborhood I grew up being left behind. The state of Wisconsin has a responsibility to make sure that we've got great schools, that we've got safe neighborhoods, that everybody has a chance to succeed and support themselves and their families. And I see that ideology and partisanship are really getting in the way of that. And, you know, you've got for almost, you know, over a decade now, this philosophy that says if we, you know, engage in austerity and we cut, that, you know, we'll rise to the top. And that lab test has shown to not work. You know, we used to be one of the top 10 states for public education. Now we've fallen down to, I think, 27. We have shared revenue, which supports, you know, public safety at the local level and make sure that we can keep our police officers and our firefighters paid. That has been cut over 20% in real dollars since 2010. And so we are trying to do more with less, and it's harder to preserve a certain quality of life and make sure that we're developing the next generation of talent that can grow the economy. And so for me, it's about making sure that we get the basics right. More for our neighborhoods, more for our schools, and more for working families, so that we address this crisis of affordability.
And health care is a major part of the state, because the state has health plans, and a lot of people are panicking over the cost of health care. I hate to sound like an old guy here. My mother took me to the doctor's one day. A big brouhaha was going on at the doctor's office. They raised the rates from $4 to $6 for a visit, and they had to pay cash.
Well,
and
that's exactly
the
right.
Mothers were screaming at this poor receptionist who had nothing to do with this whatsoever. But nowadays, you go to the doctor, it's a couple of $100.
Well, that's exactly right. And you've got senior citizens, people who've worked all their life, people who are expecting, you know, basic medical care to be accessible to them. They're getting letters in the mail from their insurance company and from their hospital system saying that they're going to have to look for a new plan. And here we are in the richest country on earth, in a great state, I believe the best state in the richest country on earth, and you've got senior citizens that are panicking about where they're going to be able to get health care. That is just wrong. And you've got other states across the union, Republican, Democratic states, that have decided to work with the federal government, bring in resources to make sure that they can expand access to basic health care. But Wisconsin is one of the few states that has said that they're not going to do that. And so for me, this isn't about left, right. This is about bringing resources in to make sure that families can support themselves and get access to basic services.
How do we talk to each other? Now, I don't know how it is in the state assembly and the state senate here in Wisconsin, but I watch what's going on in the Congress in Washington. Nobody will talk to each other.
It's horrible.
You got the Republicans and Democrats. They're bickering on everything. They won't talk. They won't have meetings. They hate each other. Well, they don't hate each other, but they have... They don't like each other's ideologies, so they bicker and fight all the time. How do you plan to stop that? Is it that bad in Wisconsin or not that bad?
I think it's potentially getting there. Yeah. And we just have to make a choice in this election to stop the nastiness. I think people are sick of the anger and divisiveness.
Name calling, too.
And the name calling. And instead of doing that, we should be spending our time talking to people about what's really important. When I announced my campaign, we talked about the five T's to the success of Wisconsin and Southeast Wisconsin. Number one, training. What can we do to make sure that folks have the skills that they need to support themselves and their families? Gateway Technical College was the first publicly funded technical college in the United States of America. We've got a tradition of this. Let's keep it going. Number two, talent. You know, we've got to build infrastructure and a quality of life that attracts skilled workers so that employers decide to move here. Tourism. I think this is the most beautiful state and we live in the most beautiful part of it. What can we do to leverage that so that visitors fuel quality of life for residents? And then technology. You know, we've got this technology revolution happening right now. What can we do to make sure that we capitalize on that to provide better services to the public? And then finally, transportation. I work in the field and, you know, when transit stops, opportunity stops. We've got to make sure that people can get to where they need to go, doctor's appointments, jobs, schools. And if you combine those five things, which I think Democrats and Republicans, when your brass tacks comes down to it, can agree on that, this, and we can actually solve problems rather than bicker. And I think that once you leave the nastiness aside and talk about the issues that are important, that's what we need in Madison.
So right now we have a Democratic governor. That could change because he's Governor Evers isn't running again. Is it going to be tough to work with a Republican governor?
Well,
right now the Republicans control the state house.
Well, I want to work with everybody, and I hope we can bring down the temperature and again focus on the things that matter, because that's going to be the only way we make a difference in people's lives. And if you're not getting into this to make a difference, I don't know why you are, because it is tough and you are putting yourself out there. And if you don't care about that stuff, there's so many other things that you could do. So I would hope that Democrats and Republicans can come together to actually get stuff done. And maybe I'm naive, maybe that's being young, but I think we need a new way of doing things because the old way is not working.
If you want to find out more about Trevor's campaign, go to trevoryoung.com. That's TrevorJung.com. And if you want to listen to the entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show and find the episode entitled Trevor Young's Plans for Wisconsin. Stick around, because after the top of the hour news, Pat welcomes Brittany Merlot with the weather, Dr. Kristen Lyerly with a preview of her show this weekend, and Mike Clemens with sports. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning again. Happy Friday again. And here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin today. October is right around the corner and it's knocking on the door. That's right. Baseball playoffs are here. And if you don't already know, the Brewers are top of the league, top of the division, and going to the playoffs with a first round bye. But you don't want to hear me get into this. I barely know anything about the sports stuff because we talked to Paul Noonan for all this information. Paul Noonan is our sports guru. He stops by Matt and Air on Air to break down everything sports, Badgers, Packers, Brewers. Now we're going to talk about the Brewers. We'll get to the Packers. They had a rough week last week, but don't worry. Paul sees good things ahead.
I think top of mind are the Brewers.
They are likely going to have the one seed going to the playoffs. Their magic number is one. That means any Brewer win or Philadelphia loss will get them the one seed throughout the playoffs. The Brewers are off today. They have a well-needed off day today. But the Phillies do play, so they could clinch it all today at some point. We'll see. But it's, you know, it would take quite the collapse at this point to not have the one seed, and they have everything else wrapped up. They'll be no worse than the two seed. They are going to be well positioned. They will have a first round bye in the playoffs and skip the three game wild card. They are, however, very, very likely to end up playing the winner of the Cubs and Padres, who we just played, in the divisional round. Which is not the best. We've talked about this on my baseball podcast a few times. The Cubs in particular are not a great matchup for the Brewers, aside from the fact that, you know, they will be annoying in AmFam.
There is the annoyance factor.
Yes,
there's the annoyance factor. But the one kind of team the Brewers struggle with is teams that play really good defense. They put the ball in play more than just about any other team, and they really put pressure on opposing defenses to be perfect. The Cubs, they're a good team. They're a flawed team. But one thing they are good at is they're one of the only teams that is like the Brewers' equivalent in defensive play. And that's one of the reasons the Brewers have had some trouble with them this year. So I would say, you know, you can't predict baseball. But in that first round, that's probably going to be the Padres and Cubs. Even though we just lost a series to the Padres, I'll be pulling for the Padres. I think we're a better matchup. And that Padres series, which, you know, we won the last game last night, it was a weird series. It was weirdly officiated. In fact, baseball just announced they're going to put in a very, very limited ball and strike challenge system next year.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Almost all of the examples as to why it might be a good idea were calls in the Brewers-Padres series that just happened, which was not the greatest officiated baseball series ever, on balls and strikes in particular. I think not yesterday, but the game before, there's a place called Umpire Scorecard that actually rates how good and how consistent umpires were on a day-to-day basis. They were wrong on 15% of ball strike calls in that game, which is a big number.
That's high.
Yeah.
It's very, very high. So it's going to be limited. You can only challenge two a game, I think, and just to keep things rolling. But baseball has been working towards this for a while. You can expect that to expand over time. And next to that, anyway, the Brewers series was weird, and I still think they're a good matchup for the Padres. I'm pulling for that one.
I've heard some things about some of the pitching, because we've had to bring up some pitchers who likely will not be around for very long.
Yes. Part of this is all because Brandon Woodruff is no longer, he got hurt, his shoulder's hurt. We'll see if he ever pitches again. You know, he had that epic comeback from the shoulder last time. This is allegedly unrelated, but shoulders
are bad.
It's
all related, though. It's all related. Like, it's not like it's ugh.
It is all related. And so they're a little bit behind the eight ball. And to finish off the season, they've had like Zimmerman up for like a cup of coffee, and Carlos F. Rodriguez was back up, and he will not be long for this world either. But I do think over the last two games, we saw what they'll likely do in the playoffs. So the sure thing in the playoffs, Freddy Peralta will start a game and Quinn Priester will start a game. Freddy will probably get game one. Priester will probably get game two. After that, it's been an open question, because Jacob Mizorowski has been quite bad over the last several months and has not really put them in a good position to win many games, except against the Pirates, who have like the worst offense in baseball. But it's probably going to be either a Chad Patrick or Jose Quintana start with a very short leash. You know, I do analytics for things. One of the truisms of baseball is that all starting pitchers get much, much worse the third time through the batting order. And one of the things the Brewers do with all of their pitchers except for Priester and Peralta is that. Take them out when they get to the third time through the order. And so that's what you'll see. Game three will be either Patrick or Quintana, and they will not face the leadoff hitter a third time. You will get the bevy of relievers like they got last night in San Diego with Ashby and everybody who is, you know, their sort of middling relievers to try to get to Abner. But that's what it's going to be like. They're going to use a lot of pitchers in the playoffs, and hopefully it's enough to get it done for them.
Paul, we only have about 60 seconds left. The Packers, they sucked on Sunday.
Boy, did they ever. So they were terrible. Here's the thing. I do think this is kind of a one-off. They probably still should have won the game despite playing absolutely terrible. But the good news is this. Cleveland is very good in their front seven and getting pressure. The Packers' offensive line was banged up. That's a terrible matchup. It happened because Zach Tom went out right away. Dallas has like the worst pass rush in football, and that is partially because we stole their best player. And so the situation is very unlikely to repeat itself. The Packers should be okay this Sunday against the Cowboys. They cannot do what Cleveland did. They have no ability to do it. They've given up points to everybody they faced, including a terrible Giants team. Packers should be all right.
We always love having Paul around the show. He comes by every other Thursday to drop all knowledge on all things sports. So whether it's Paul or J.R. Radcliffe, tune in to Matt and Air on Air every Thursday at 10:35 for your sports fix. And you've heard me talk about it, but Civic Media has a brand new newsletter, Civic Media Today. And you can subscribe to it right now. It's free. And what you get is a roundup daily from everything we're doing here at the network, whether it's podcasts, interviews, network or local shows, and award-winning reporting. You want this in your inbox? That's easy. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and sign up. And remember, it's absolutely free. Stick around because after Pat is Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air and me, Greg Bach. And today we talked to Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.